Turn it up.
When the game goes on, they turn it up.
Right, exactly.
We grew up in St. Louis, and a friend of ours lived like next to Lou Brock, and they said like his walk out to
took him like 20 minutes
to the mailbox.
From the door to the mailbox to get the mail, 20 minutes.
Come on, Lou. You can walk a little bit faster than that.
Sweet Lou.
Unbelievable. So let's talk a little college football. Obviously, I mean, something that's got to be close to your heart as well is like realignment. First of all, this is the off season of realignment, but I mean, can you imagine a Big Ten split in two? Where potentially Michigan doesn't play Ohio State
and, or play them earlier in the year. What does that mean to that conference and college football in general, possibly?
And I think in general it takes something away from not only the conference, but, you know, the whole landscape of college football because, you know, with the game day job, I travel across the country. And a lot of people who have no affiliation with the Buckeyes or the Wolverines, they just love that matchup and they love that rivalry and they look forward to it. You know, late November. I mean, just some of you, it's like, you know, a month from there, you have Christmas. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So, it seems to fit. It's like the world is right if that game's being
played. And from what I remember, even back when we were playing, you know, when you were playing, and through the 90s, no matter how good or how bad Michigan or Ohio State was, that game was always tight, except for like 2 years ago. Even last year, it was tight when Michigan was down. And it again, it's an exciting game, and it might not happen now at the end of the year. So,
no, I think, like I said, not only for, you know, the schools, both schools, not only for the Big Ten Conference, but just football, period, the college football, period, it's, you know, something's going to be missing if they're not playing that last weekend in November.
Do you feel like, all right, they're realigning all the conferences and they're spending all this time, like, totally changing things that have been around forever, and yet a playoff system is completely out of the, like, people are like...
That's asking, like, players to play with dresses on or something like that.
Or play, like, to play college football with a baseball. It's like, come on.
How is that a sacred cow that we can't touch and yet we can mess with this stuff?
What is your feeling about a playoff or some sort of thing to determine the national championship in that way?
Well, I think the playoff, when you think of it just on the surface, it sounds like, okay, perfect. I mean, why not do it? That's a great, you know, a great way to try to find a champion. But the problem is every argument that they bring to the table about the BCS, I don't think is answered. I haven't seen a formula or a playoff formula that answers every problem we have with the BCS because at the end of the day, if it's going to be an 18 playoff, somebody's got to vote those 8 teams in.
That's right.
So then...
Nine is going to be upset.
The NCAA is still expanding.
I know. It's 68. Exactly. They're like, we could do 68 teams this year. And so,
exactly. So there are a couple of arguments that, to me, it still doesn't satisfy those particular arguments. But, yeah, playoff just seems, you know, just seems natural. We, you know, obviously, I grew up an NFL fan more than a college football fan. So a playoff is the way that, you know, you determine who the Super Bowl champs was. And
that's right.
Yeah. So
you don't let someone else.
I don't know if we're going to get plus the chancellors and the presidents and those you know, those people who make the decisions. They really don't want the playoff.
Which is weird because we still go till January 8th now, or 9th sometimes.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're still playing that far into the new year.
It's like it used to be just January 1st and that's it. You watched all your bowl games on January 1st and that was it.
Right.
But now they just kind of, I guess,
stringing it out for TV revenue. And I get that. I understand that. But there's also a chance to expand.
All right. I want to ask you about something. I mean, this year, earlier, a few weeks ago, Reggie Bush had to give back his Heisman Trophy. Now, as a Heisman Trophy winner, I mean, did that? You're one of the few people that can understand
what a
huge loss that must have been for the man to give back his trophy. I mean, look, he wasn't using steroids. Obviously, there are rules in place.
Right.
But it's like,
giving back the wins, maybe. But
me too. But like, does getting a,
because that's an individual,
getting an apartment for your mom, does that affect the way you run the football and whatnot? It's just kind of, what did you think about that when he had to give that back?
Well, judged by what I just heard you guys say, I think we're on the same page.
Okay.
You know, my issue with this was he wasn't caught using a performance enhancement drug. So therefore what he did on the field, you know, didn't have anything to do with where his mom and pop stayed. And I had made a comment during this whole thing that I don't care, you know, if his mom and pop stayed, you know, in a crack house or the White House.
Yeah.
This kid's talents is what earned him that trophy.
That's right.
Know? But you know, you have the rules set in place, and I understand that too. But see, I'm really a guy who, I don't agree with a lot of rules. I think that they're put in place to maintain a system that exploits these kids, especially when you can make millions off of their likeness and their mom and pop can't get a dime.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what the rules are. You know, if Reggie Bush's parents lived in a cardboard box up under a bridge, the NCAA wouldn't give two squirts of Gatorade about it.
I agree.
As long as that kid's out there scoring touchdowns on Saturdays and bringing in, you know, revenue off his jerseys, I'm like, listen.
That's right.
Ask USC, how many number five jerseys did they sell before Reggie Bush started to wear?
That's right. And then he comes and that's and everything. And he's on the front of every media guide that gets bought and every single thing like that. You're using his image in that way. And that's where it is imbalanced. It's like
that's what I have a problem with. And if you really wanted to pay a player, I mean, at the very, very least, you could pay players whose likeness that you make money off of.
Yeah, was USC forced to refund all the money they made when the number fives were sold?
They weren't. That's exactly. We're going to take away the wins. No, take away the millions they made.
That's right.
They should be money.
Forced to pay that back. I agree. I mean, look, there's definitely something imbalanced with that. All right, let's talk about this year, upcoming 2010 college football year. We'll talk about just who, I mean, is anybody going to beat Alabama? That's my question. Is anybody going to beat Alabama?
I mean, they're stacked and they're
back. Stacked and they got a coach that's like, we will not let you fall asleep. You know what I mean? They're just so good.
Yeah, I know. You know, the thing about it is, as good as Alabama was last year, it took some luck for them to win that, to get to the national championship game. I'm not going to say win the national championship game, but at least to get there. Don't forget,
sure.
I mean,
SEC.
They had to block a field goal against Tennessee.
That's right.
The game to win that game.
And, that's right.
You know, Auburn, you know, was giving them fits, too.
That's right.
So, I mean, yeah, they're in a competitive SEC conference, and yeah, there are teams out there who definitely beat them, especially when you look at their defense. You know, they have a depleted defense now. They have to replace about eight starters on defense.
Right.
And other guys who have playing experience. So, yeah, they definitely can be beat. Now, like you said, but Nick Saban, I tell you what, if you tell me Nick Saban has a team, his offense, all the firepower returns on the offense, but the biggest question mark is his defense. My response would be, okay, he'll figure that part out.
He'll figure it out. Yeah.
He's a good
Because they're always recruiting. You know you got new blood coming in,
exactly.
And they got the top five-star blue chippers coming in. So who is your team that people maybe aren't talking about right now, but you feel like, all right, these guys, no one's really talking about them, but they're going to make some noise?
You know, I'm really looking at, in the Big Ten, I'm looking at Wisconsin.
Sure.
I think everyone's talking about Ohio State and Iowa, and it's just, you know, one of those two teams will win the Big Ten championship. Mm-hmm. But I'm not, don't count Wisconsin out. I think this may be their year. They have Ohio State at home.
Mm-hmm.
They got to go on the road and play Iowa. But I think Wisconsin, you know, they were the top scoring team in the Big Ten, averaging 31 points. They had the top offensive yards total.
Mm-hmm.
I think about 416 yards on offense per game.
Mm-hmm.
They bring back a Heisman Trophy candidate, this guy named John Clay.
Clay, yep.
I think the key is going to be this wide receiver named Nick Toon.
Mm-hmm.
If Nick Toon
if
he can stretch the defense and not allow teams to put eight in the box and they have to respect the passing game,
they're going to be tough.
They're going to have something going.
They're going to be tough. All right, so let's talk. Obviously, let's talk Michigan. It's near and dear. We graduated in 94, so a couple years after you. But what's happening this year? I mean, we've got some insiders and some friends of ours who say that, like, if they lose to Connecticut or lose either Connecticut or Notre Dame, they lose to Connecticut, they're going to win three games all year, and that's it. I mean, what are you thinking and what are you seeing? Like, what has to happen?
And what has to happen for Rich Rod to keep his job?
Well, I'll start off by saying I can tell you this, probably coming out of spring ball, I watched them practice in the spring. I said, I'm more concerned with the UConn game at home than I am the Notre Dame game in South Bend.
Okay.
I said, I think they have some very very good skill position players who are going to score points.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt in my mind they will score points. I wasn't sold back then that their defense will come up with the critical stops necessary to stop teams. And I thought that was going to be their Achilles heel. And, you know, they've had some injuries.
Sure.
During camps or not, defense is really scrambling and trying to find bodies to fill holes. So, you know, the way I look at it is UConn is a very well-coached team. Randy Esso does a fantastic job with the players he has. You know, they went through that that situation last year when a player was stabbed to death.
Yep.
And I thought they did a fantastic job of maintaining their composure, going out there competing week in and week out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be a well-coached team. That game is a very, very tricky game.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So do you see them winning 6-7 games this year?
I think that they can win. That first game is going to be crucial. If they get past UConn, I think that they can win 7 games. I think they can win. Now, you say, what does Rich Rod have to do to keep his job? Now, that's a tough one. I think that, maybe 8-9 wins. Unless one of those wins is against Ohio State, then maybe he can win 7.
That's right.
That's right.
Then he can keep his job. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting. And plus, Dave Brandon, the new athletic director,
right.
He's a guy who he understands Michigan tradition. He understands Michigan football. He knows what he knows what he's looking for out there on that field.
Right.
He knows the product that he wants to put out there every Saturday. If he isn't seeing that product, then he's going to make a change.
That's right. Got it.
It's crazy. What's funny is that Bill Martin, like this time last year,
mm-hmm.
the former AD Bill Martin had said that he was going to resign and he was going to leave in September.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that Dave Brandon took over March 8th or March 9th? I'm like, well, Bill Martin, the former AD, he's supposed to be going through all this stuff that Michigan went through this past summer
right.
with the sanctions and the violations.
That's right, that's right.
This all was supposed to fall up under Bill Martin.
But instead, Dave Brandon took it on.
And he took it on straight ahead, and he was strong with it. Yeah.
Yeah, he did, which I give Dave Brandon a lot of credit for. But it's like, hold on. I'm telling you, you check the record. Bill Martin last year said, I'm resigning or leaving, whatever, September of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
September of 2010. All of a sudden, he disappeared right before March.
Yeah, well, September is March to him, so that's how it works. Desmond, thank you so much. Good luck on College Game Day.
We'll be watching you,
and keep doing what you're doing, and let's go blue, and let's see if we can't have a good season this year.
Guys, thanks for having me. Keep up the great work.
You got it. Desmond
thanks.
Howard, everyone, let's go to break. We come back.
I like it.
Desmond said, keep up the great work.
That's right.
It's motivating to me.
It is. It motivates me as well.
Uh-oh. I love this song.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute.
No, we didn't.
Oh, no, we didn't.
A conversation.
That's just my baby daddy.
B-Rock and the Biz.
Someone's at the door, and she said, who that is?
That's just my baby's dad.
It's no one.
It's no one.
That's just my baby daddy.
To all you who say we only bring indie rock, this is going in your face.
We like the cars that go boom and B-Rock and the Biz? Come on, Sklar Brothers, bringing the old school indie rap heat.
When we come back, we're going to talk Sammy Sosa not being psyched about his number not being retired yet.
Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on the Premier Radio Networks.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.